Hey everyone, this is Jaron Hollis with The Believers Church. I'm so happy that you're here today. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. I pray that it inspires you, it challenges you, and it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see those of you that made it in under the wire as the snow was coming down and covering the roads. Thank you, you brave-hearted people. And we can only pray in Jesus' name that you make it home safely today. And we're excited that you're here. And then for those of you that will be watching online because of the storms, we want to welcome you into our house, Believers Church, and we're going to have a good time in the Word of God. So get out your pens and your paper and be ready to take good notes. And we're excited for what God has in store. And so let's get right to the message. The title of my message today is Trees, Mountains, and Storms. Trees, Mountains, and Storms. And for many of you, you'll say, you know, man, I think I heard you preach on that a couple of years ago. And you're right, I did. What I tell you over and over is that repetition is the mother of skill. It is... You know, I've gone back. I've read one book 11 times. I've got something out of it every time I read it because I'm in a different place in my walk with God. And so I intentionally come back and cover things again to make sure that you've got it, to make sure you've cemented it into your heart and your spirit. So we're taking our text today from the book of Mark, the 11th chapter. We're going to read verses 12 and 14, and then we're going to drop down and read a couple of other scriptures. But we'll start with Mark 11, 12, and 14. And this is where Jesus is cursing the fig tree. Here's what it says. The text reads, "The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat of your fruit again.'" Excuse me. "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. So now verses 20 and through 23. "The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, 'Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died.'" Everybody say, "In less than 24 hours. "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe. It will happen, and have no doubt in your heart." Let me just start this message today by saying to everyone under the sound of my voice that God loves you in ways that you cannot imagine. He gives you amazing tools in the Word of God. And if you use those tools properly, you will turn your life into an amazing, joy-filled journey. And so we want to start out by making a distinction. Praying and believing are amazing tools or weapons, but there are times on this life's journey that we're on when it's not enough to pray. Really, Pastor, you just said that there are times when it's not enough to pray and it's not enough to believe? Wow, I thought prayer was important. Oh, it is. It's very important. But I'm trying to get to this distinction. That there are some things in our lives that that have to be spoken to. Yeah. Not prayed over, but spoken to. And Jesus makes this distinction a few times in scriptures. You're going to find where he didn't pray about something, he spoke to it. Yeah. All right? And I want to make that distinction for you because you may have prayed over something for a long time and never saw a result, and I want you to consider how you're approaching it. So if you prayed and believed over something negative in your life and yet you see no change, it may be that you're taking the wrong approach to whatever you're going through. First and foremost, and they're going to put this up on the screen, our relationship requires trust. Our relationship with God requires trust. Trust is the DNA of faith. I need you to understand what faith is. It's trusting that if God said it, I believe it. If God promised it, it's going to come to pass. There's no question. God cannot lie. Turn to somebody and say, did you know God can't lie? In the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 11 and 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. I love the Amplified version, the way they add these things. Believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Now we're going to look at it from the CJB. I called Jaron this week and said, hey, Jaron, do you know what version the CJB is? And Jaron said, no, I don't. And I started laughing because I didn't know what it was either. It's the Complete Jewish Bible. All right, the CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible, Hebrews 11, 6, same verse, a little differently, and this is the reason I chose it. The Amplified Bible says, but without faith, and the Complete Jewish Bible says it differently. It says, and without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God because whoever approaches him must trust that he does exist and that he becomes a rewarder of those who seek him out. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. And many Christians try to live in a relationship with God without trust. I need to stay there for just a moment, if you will allow me. Many Christians try to walk out their faith without trusting God. Oh, I believe the word of God is true. I believe that God exists, but I really do not trust God in the practicum. And what do I mean by that? It means I do not trust God in my everyday life. I don't trust him to provide for me. I don't trust him to watch over my family. I could just go on and on and on. But I need you to understand that those people that try to live for God without trust, the outcome is no vibrancy and no supernatural life in our relationship with God. You have to have the trust factor in your life if you're going to step over into the supernatural. Let me say it a little differently. Trust is the oxygen of spoken faith. Trust is the oxygen of spoken faith. Let's take just a few minutes this morning and do some problem solving. Are you ready? Here we go. If you prayed over something for a very long time and you find that the problem continues, it may be that you're not approaching the problem the way Jesus instructed you to approach it. Can you imagine the 12 standing there and they go, psst, what's Jesus doing over there? Looks like he's talking to a tree. Is he still on the bubble? What did he have for breakfast? What's going on? Why is he over there having a conversation with a tree? He knew the disciples were watching and he was trying to teach them a very powerful lesson. He was trying to instruct them in the way of the spirit realm. And many times we look at these and say, oh, isn't that a neat story? He cursed a tree and it withered and died. And you don't realize that there's a deep abiding spiritual application there. First of all, you need to ask yourself as a Christian, what am I approaching? What this thing I'm going through, this trial I'm going through, this struggle that I'm facing that seems to not go away, what is it that I'm approaching? How do I categorize what I'm going through? So here it is. It may be a tree, which is a type of provision. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. So you're to be like a tree that always produces fruit. If you are going through a barren time and your tree is not producing like it should, then you need to understand that this is not something you pray over. If you can't get the fruit out of the tree, then it's something you need to speak to. Okay? And then Jesus talks about speaking to mountains. That's something you can't get over or can't get around. It just will not go away. Anybody here try to wait out a trial? Or am I the only one? All right? Right? And you just try to wait it out and wait it out and wait it out, and you become frustrated. You start losing hope, and you start losing faith, and you start losing trust in God because you've prayed and prayed and prayed. You've listed your complaints very thoroughly to God and said, I thought I was your kid. And he's saying, no. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got, and you miss some very important fundamentals in Scripture. And I need you to stop praying about this, and I need you to start speaking to that. Are you with me? So a mountain is something you can't get over, get around, or it might be a storm. So we're talking trees, mountains, and storm. And a storm is an attack that comes out of nowhere, which is devastating and turns your world upside down. Many times you'll hear people say, man, I got the rug pulled out from underneath me. My head hit the floor so hard because somebody jerked the rug out from underneath me. I lost my balance. It happened instantly. Again, my point, and you've got to get this, I'm moving on, but you got to get this, that you may be praying about things that you should be speaking to. Turn to somebody and say, you have the power to speak. Put up the beautiful slide of the tree, would you? Thank you so much. Jesus spoke to a tree. Why? He was teaching the disciples that people of faith at times need to speak to their obstacles. So, Pastor, can you help me a little bit here? Sure. A tree is something in you. It may be long-term depression that runs in your family. It's in your family tree. I actually prayed over somebody. They called me and said, man, I need prayer. And I said, okay, and they told me what it was, and it was a migraine, headache, and I said, before I pray for you, I said, I need to know, did your mama ever have a migraine? Yes, my mom had a migraine. Did her dad have migraines? No, but my grandfather, her grandfather had migraines. I said, so here's what you're telling me. You're telling me that the grandfather had migraines, it jumped over the father, but it came into your mom, and your mom had migraines all of her life, and now you're suffering from migraines. He said, yes. And I said, okay, so we're not going to pray over you. We're going to speak to the tree in your life. We're going to curse this tree. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? We're going to curse this family tree, and we're going to demand that the root system die out so that you'll never have another migraine. We don't need to pray over this. Because it just won't go away. I don't know how many times you've prayed over these migraine situations, but they're not going away. And it's not because God's not listening. It's because you've come up against a lesson that you haven't got. You come up against something, a trial that you have not got the victory over. Let me say it to you this way. Almost everybody under the sound of my voice has been through a test that was ordained by God. And you say, man, I failed the test. Well, let me just say this. You may say that about yourself, but God never fails anybody. God never fails anybody. God doesn't grade that way. When you come up against a test and you don't make it to the other side successfully, God just smiles and says, it's okay, don't worry. I'm not going to give you an F. I'm just going to give you the test again. Somebody needs to be saying, uh-oh, right now. I mean, that's not something we want. We don't want to go through the test over and over and over again. And there are people under the sound of my voice that are saying, Pastor, I hear you loud and clear because it just keeps coming at me. I was going through a trial on my job. I quit that job and went to the next job, and it wasn't the end of the first week till I saw the same test at the next job. You must speak to some things in your life. Let me help you here, and this is going to come up. The phrase, and it came to pass, appears in the Hebrew Bible about 1,200 times. That's very interesting. So let me just help you, because we hear these little statements, and we really don't think them through. And it came to pass. So just watch me very carefully. And it came to pass. You need to get that in your mind's eye. And it came to pass. As Christians, we would prefer that everything that comes at us passes us, right? At some point, okay? If we're in a trial, we just, you know what I'm talking about? And there are Christians that don't know enough. They've tried praying, and they say, okay, here it comes. I'm just gonna hunker down and wait it out. But it never passes. So I wanna remind you that about 90% of the time, most of life situations are transient in nature. The situation you're going through right now is not static. It won't be there a month from now or a year from now or 2 years from now, unless it's a tree or a mountain or a storm. You say, well, man, I've been going through this for about 8 years. Well, then you need to look at it and ask the question, is this a tree, is this a mountain, or is it a storm? Can I look in my family history and see this problem? I'm not talking about a seasonal or a one-time problem that you face as a Christian. I'm talking about a tree problem. It's in your family tree. Get ready. Here are a couple of words you need to write down. It's a generational stronghold. I was on the phone for 2.5 hours yesterday with some people out in California, and they had been in a Bible study. They had a business meeting, and in the business meeting, a Bible study broke out, and one of the young ladies in the Bible study was demon-possessed and began to manifest. They called me, and we began to talk about it. We began to talk about the problem, the situation, and I said, you know, I need to know where this demon entered. It would help me a great amount if you would help me with that. And so we started talking. We started talking about her past. And, you know, do you know if her parents were involved in satanic worship? Do you know if, and we just went down the line. We started, and again, you need to analyze. You need to stop. You need to keep a cool head about you. And this is not in my notes, but I just let me go here very quickly. When Gideon was getting ready to go into battle, and God was giving him a lot of men, he had 22,000 men, or better than that. It might have been 32, but I think it was 22,000 men. And God said to Gideon, "Tell all the men that are afraid to go home." And so they got down to 10,000 men, real quick. And Gideon's like, "Wow, I still got 10,000, but our enemy is without number." And God said, "Well, I'm not done yet. Send him down to the river for a drink." So Gideon says, "Everybody go to the water right now and get a drink." And while they were drinking, God said, "Now I want you to notice some. There's some warriors laying on their face and got their face in the water, and they're drinking the water while laying on their face." He said, "Tell all of them to go home. Only take the warriors that are on one knee, scooping and watching. Scooping and watching, scooping and watching. Those are the only men you're going to take into battle with you." 9,700 men went home. There was only three. You know, there were a lot of belly floppers that day. Are you with me? Right? There were a lot of men laying on their face and drinking. So just let me tell you this as a pastor. I love a move of God. I've been drunk on the anointing before. I love it when I get wiped out. But when I get wiped out, I'm no good to anyone else. So I had to learn as a man of God that when the anointing comes, my assignment is not to get drunk on the anointing. God doesn't mind me kneeling down in reverential awe and scooping up handfuls of the anointing and drinking, but I'm always watching to see who else I can help. Are you with me? Okay, so I need you to understand this as well, that when you're approaching something, you don't just blindly run into it and make all these declarations. You have to ask, what is this? And when you're facing a generational stronghold, then you've got the power and the authority to cut off that generational stronghold, but you got to speak to that tree and not pray over it. Somebody says, "Man, Pastor, you're being bold." No, no, no. You are created in the image of God. You have got the power to speak. You've got the power to, are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, maybe addiction runs in your family. That's not a one-time problem. That is a tree issue. Maybe it's a provision issue. You've lived a lifetime of lack. You live in the land of never enough. Some have dealt with long-term sickness. And, you know, I've had people tell me, I come by it right. My grandma had it, my mama had it, and now I got it too. Well, way to lock yourself in. No, you go to that and say, you may have had my grandmother, you may have had my mother, but through the blood of Jesus, it all stops here, because I'm not going to let it go on to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop the battle right here, because I'm not letting it happen to my family. All right? Your great-grandmother may have been diagnosed with some problem. Your grandfather, your father, all of your uncles were all diagnosed with it. That's not a problem, a one-time problem. That's a generational problem. That's a family tree problem. So you don't pray about the tree problem. You speak to it. Can I get an amen? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a minute. If there's anybody in this room that has suffered from long-term sickness, and just stay with me. I'm trying to train you here in how you walk with God. It was in your grandparents, your parents. It can be anything long-term. It can be sickness. It can be lack of money. It can be depression. I need you to come right now. We're just going to come down here, and I'm going to show you how to speak to that and run it out of your life. Come on. Come on, and I know, you know, we've got a blinding snowstorm outside and we don't have a church full. That's okay. We're going to have enough people here, all right, to anybody else come. They say, come on, we've got this issue, and it's been there for years and years and years, and it keeps popping its head up. So we're going to, listen, I've gone to churches while they're coming. Let me just say this. I've gone to churches, and I've noticed the same issue in many families in that church. It's shocking because they did not deal with it. They did not. All right. So I want every one of you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just, with your eyes open, say out loud, sickness, you have no right in my body. Let my body go. Let my immune system be strong. And let my immune system dominate any sickness. Let health have free reign over this body and over my children and over my grandchildren. Go with me. Poverty, you have no hold on my family. Let my family go. Let blessings overtake my family. Stay with me. Depression, you have no hold on my family. Let my family go. Are you with me? Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare these things. Now give the Lord a great hand clap offering. Now you watch and see what happens. You watch and see what happens. If you had faith and you realized that you were deputized by Almighty God, because He told you to speak. He told you that the power of life and death was in your tongue. He told you to speak, all right? Thank you. You may be seated. You see, depression will only stay if you allow it. And here's one of the things, okay, man, just stay with me. I've cast demons out of people, and the demons were talking to me and said, I don't have to leave. And I start rebuking them, and they laugh and say, I don't have to leave because I had their mother or I had their father. Therefore, I have a right to them. That's a generational stronghold. So I said, you may have had the mother and father, but it stops today. I plead the blood over this child. You don't have ownership. And then I have to have the child or whoever it is that's standing there, I have to have them make the declaration that they are freed by the blood of the Lamb and that that spirit has to let them go. I am not my mother. I am not my father. But where people get trapped is when they get in the mindset, well, I come by it right. The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, it was in my family here and in my family here. And therefore, I guess I'm giving the spirits of darkness permission to let me have rheumatoid arthritis all my life. Look at Mark 11, 14 with me. Jesus looked at the tree and said, may no one ever eat your fruit again. You will not produce fruit anymore. I'm doing this from the Message now, Mark 11, 14. No one is going to eat fruit from you again ever. Now, you need to pay close attention because you need to know how to talk. You may have been taught how to pray, but do you know how to speak over a situation? No one is going to eat fruit from you again ever. You've been deputized by God manifest in the flesh to speak this way to situations in your life and change them. Don't just put your hands in your pocket and go, oh, well, it's just always been that way. That's not how you become an overcomer. That's not how you walk in victory. And I need for you to hear this and see this and then practice it. I need to take you back to the beginning of creation for a moment. God said, ready? Pay close attention. God said, let there be light. In the narrative, the word let reveals something. God appears to be speaking, stay with me, God appears to be speaking to the opposition, or he appears to be speaking to the darkness. And commanding that the darkness has to let the light through. Listen to what the great creator, the Alpha and the Omega, God Almighty, said. Let there be light. I love the fact that the way he was speaking, made sure he was telling the darkness. He didn't just say, I want light to be here. He was telling the darkness. He was telling the opposition, I'm going to speak light and you have to let it in. So from that time to this time, light has always had power over darkness. You can be in a room that's inky black with no windows and strike one match and the darkness will flee away from that match because you've created light. And since God spoke and said, let there be light, darkness has always had to let there be light. Are you with me? Okay. Since that spoken moment, light has held the dominant position. There is no competition between darkness and light. Light wins every time. Light always dispels darkness. Darkness has to let or allow the light to shine. He was telling the tree, your nature is that you grow fruit and produce in abundance, but I'm telling you that you must let no one eat from you ever again. Are you with me? Moses and Pharaoh got into a battle. Pharaoh had great power. Moses just was one single guy, but Moses just kept repeating the words that God had given him, let my people go. You need to understand the power of that. All right, he just kept saying, let my people go. He kept speaking it. You must allow my people to be set free. A couple of million to 3 million people been in bondage for 400 years. You let my people go. There is a time to pray and there is a time to speak. And you must know the difference. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs 18:21. So we oftentimes forget we are made in the image and the likeness of God, and that's not the same. The image of God is the resemblance of God, but the likeness of God is the manner of God. If God's manner was displayed by speaking things into existence, then we need a revelation because we are in like manner. We have the power. We have the power to speak. When we speak words of faith, something happens in the unseen realm. That was probably the most powerful revelation I got when I started praying over people and speaking things over people, is that I knew I was changing something in the unseen, whether I could see it at the moment or not. Remember, the tree withered from the roots up. It didn't turn brown in its leaves and turn to dust or ashes and just fall. That's not what happened. It started in the roots. What I'm saying is that somebody already got a root up miracle on the way because of what they declared down here. Yeah, I don't know, Pastor. Don't dismiss this. Don't dismiss it. I know you've prayed about it for years, but today you spoke to it. And you need to take courage right now. You may have laid on your belly and put your face in the water and prayed until you were blue in the face. But today you stood on both feet and stuck a hand in the air and said to that thing, you will not bother me again. You will leave me alone. Sometimes you just got to stand up. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a lot of people that will beg God and never resist the devil. Are you with me? This is the difference between praying and speaking. Sometimes you've got to just say, devil, you're about to have a bad day. You're not going to get by with what you've been getting by with. You're going to loose me and you're going to let me go. You're going to let me go. You're going to let my family go. You're going to let my finances go. You're going to let my vehicle go. You're going to let my job go. You're going to let it go right now in the name of Jesus. And if you don't doubt, something starts happening, maybe not on the surface, but deep down on the inside, in the roots of that, the poison has already started and it's coming. You've got to realize that in that moment, the tree didn't look any different, but beneath the surface, in the unseen region, the root system was immediately cut off. Are you listening to me? That thing you've been praying over, go to God, say, is this a tree? Is this a mountain? Is this a storm? And then you speak to it appropriately and know that the root system is immediately cut off. I hope you're listening. I hope you're taking great notes. I hope you at home are standing up and making declarations while I speak. And I hope that you believe that this is as powerful, if not more powerful, than prayer. Because now you're not praying to be rescued by some angelic host or waiting for the answer from heaven. It's like sending a telegram away and waiting for an answer to come back. You're not doing that. I've done that many times, and it's worked for me many times. But sometimes God wants you to stand up in the fact of who you are. You are a child of the Almighty God. You are in His image. You are in His likeness, and you have His manner. You have every right to stand up and act like Daddy. He deputized you to do it. Speak to that tree, speak to that mountain, speak to that storm. Again, Mark 11, 20, 23, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed that it had withered from the roots up. That's not there just by happenstance. You got to understand that anytime you read something in the Bible, it's not there just to be there. It's trying to teach you. It's trying to pull a veil off of your eyes and give you a revelation. It's trying to take you into a moment where you go from just understanding to knowing. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." I am totally confident right here, right now, that there is a from the roots up miracle here today. Why? Because God's not wrong. He doesn't lie. If you will boldly believe Him, the miracle's on the way. You must be so bold that we leave our responding ministry and move into the root ministry. People don't pray until they're responding to something. Why don't you take action? Why don't you, you know what? There's somebody right now, even in this size crowd, there's somebody here that's had a problem with a family member. They've had a problem with, let's just pick a mother-in-law. No, I'm kidding. We won't go there. But you've had a problem. Somewhere along the way, you've had a problem. Yeah. Right? And it just doesn't go away. You've got a family member that's struggling. You've got a right to speak over that child. You've got a right to speak over that situation. And you've got a right to tell hell, let the light of God in. Let the revelation of the Almighty God, let the revelation of the love of God in. Let the idea and the revelation that he, when he was on the cross, died for my child, let that into my child's mind. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? Okay. You see, when our words are deeply rooted in faith, they can cut off the roots of something else. Let's talk about mountains for just a moment. In the NLT, it says, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. It does not say it might happen, it could happen. It says it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and do not doubt in your hearts. Put up that slide if you haven't yet of the mountain. Thank you. Mountains, they can be beautiful, but they are blocking your way. Then they become daunting, in your face, immovable, much bigger than you. It appears that you cannot get over it and you cannot go around it. That's just the way mountains are. And you need to understand that. And if there's a mountain in your life, there's something. I just went through this where I had a mountain in my way. And I told my wife, I don't see my way over it. I don't see my way around it. I don't see my way through it. I don't see a way. And I just kept holding on. And you know, I forgot this lesson. This is why I'm bringing it back, is because I forgot this lesson and I kept praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. And I should have just asked heaven, is this a mountain? Because now I clearly see what it was. So God sent me a word for two prophets. I did exactly what they told me to do, and the problem was resolved. I hope you believe, I don't care how long you've gone through something, I hope you believe that the answer is at the door today. If you'll just speak. Here's the challenge. It's one thing for me to teach and one thing for you to have your ears open and take good notes, but I can't speak it for you. You need to speak it for yourself. It's no coincidence that God chose a mountain to represent problems. Mountains are big. Mountains seem permanent, as if they will be there forever. If you don't speak to your mountain will speak to you. I need to say that again. If you don't speak to your mountain will speak to you. You understand? It was here. I was here a long time before you. I was here in your grandmother's life. I was here in your great-great-great-grandmother's life. I was here long before you, and I'll be here long after you're gone. Jesus says, no, not so. You can speak to that mountain and tell it to be removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will be removed. How many of you want to be in the mountain moving business? How many of you understand right here, right now, that if you'll start speaking to the mountain, you can change things for not only your life, but generations to come? And that will make you an overcomer. And that is exactly what you want. When you speak to your mountain, you will find that it's not permanent. Under the surface, it starts to crumble, just like the tree down in the root system. Under the surface, that mountain, the foundation of the mountain starts to crack and crumble, and the mountain will be made low. Again, there's a time to pray and a time to speak. Say to that mountain, be removed from my life. Let me through. I want everybody under the sound of my voice right now to raise a hand and say, mountain, I command you to be removed. Let me through. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, you did what Jesus did. Let there be light. You just told the mountain, you be removed and let me through. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, expect to get through. Storms. Put up the picture of the storms, please, if you would. Storms can be beautiful. I picked this picture because I thought it was beautiful. Storms can be beautiful until you're stuck in the middle of one. Then they can be overwhelming. Storms can come out of nowhere. Anybody ever had that happen to them? You're walking along. You and Jesus are in a good mood. Looks like Jesus loves you and you love him. Everything seems to be awesome. And out of nowhere, man, I don't know how many times saints have called me and said, I don't deserve this. Man, I'm doing good. I've been fasting. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I've been giving to the church. I'm doing everything I know to do, Pastor. I haven't missed church, and I don't know when. And out of nowhere, this storm comes. And I don't understand it. Storms can be overwhelming. They weren't there yesterday. You didn't do anything to deserve it. But the storm overwhelmed you. I got to remind you again that people of faith talk to their obstacles. You tell that storm, peace, be still. You've heard my story over and over. I was in my first year of Bible college. It was early one morning. My room was right next to the payphone in the hallway. I lived in the men's dorm freshman year, and my room was actually the closest to the payphone, so the payphone started ringing at 7 in the morning, and my roommate, Mark James, jumped up and opened the door and stepped out in the hallway and answered the phone. I'm laying there trying to get my eyes open and getting ready to go to the bathroom, clean up, and ready for college, and Mark pushes the door open pretty abruptly and gets my attention. The door swung open wildly, and Mark's standing there, and his face is not the right color. It's off-white, and he's shaking, and he's pointing at me. He said, "Get up and go to the phone." And I thought, wow, you know, what in the world? So I jump up, and I run to the phone. It's my older brother, Rick, and Rick says, "Hey, Randy." I said, "Hey, Rick, what's up?" He said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "No." And I was a tough guy, so I said, "I'll take whatever you got to say standing up." My grandmother had been sick. I thought maybe my grandmother died, and I kind of prepared myself for it. And then Rick rocked my world. He said, "It's Robert, Randy." Robert was my little stepbrother, a year and a half younger than me. We were like this. We were always together. I said, "What about Robert?" He said, "He was shot through the heart last night and killed." I looked up, and Mark had evidently already told a bunch of people because they were gathered around me in the hallway, a bunch of guys just looking at me like they were so sorry, but they didn't know what to say. Then I heard somebody moaning, and I thought, wow, who's moaning? It was echoing up down the hallway. Then I realized it was me. A strange noise, was coming out of me, and I thought, Hollis, you know, you don't look very manly right now. You got to shut that up, man. Don't do that. And then all of a sudden, my knees started buckling. And I was up against a wall, and my knees started buckling. And now I'm going down. And on the inside, I'm literally saying, "Hollis, stop yelling and stand up." And I couldn't do either. The noise was coming out, and my knees gave way, and I just flopped on the floor. A bunch of guys ran over and scooped me up under my arms and drug me across the hall into a bathroom. Literally drugged me. My feet weren't moving. They drugged me over to a sink and turned on ice cold water, started splashing it in my face. I could hear them praying and begging God to help me. And I was moaning uncontrollably. I'm trying not to cry. I was facing the storm of my life. You know the story. I'll fast forward. Two girls in the school, God woke them up at 5 o'clock in the morning, told them to pray for me, and they prayed till 7. That's when I got the message. Robert died at midnight. God literally woke two girls up and said, "Start praying for Randy Hollis." They came to me individually. They both lived in different dorms. They didn't know each. You know, I thought they were making it up at first. When the second one came to me, I thought, well, surely they talked this morning. But I looked in her eyes. I could tell she didn't know that the other girl had just told me at the other end of the building. She said, "The Lord woke me up this morning at 5 o'clock, told me to start praying for you. I prayed for you till school started." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, thank you." And I turned to go down some stairs. And when I did, the perfect peace of God fell on me. And for 3 weeks, I walked in the peace of God. I felt no pain. I felt no sorrow. I that almost sounds crazy and like I wasn't in my right mind. But I can't wait to get to heaven because I've tasted the peace. The Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I promise you, there is perfect peace. I've said this many times from the pulpit. I don't have to have faith for perfect peace. Please stay with me for just a moment. I don't have to have faith that there's perfect peace in the universe. You know why I don't have to have faith? Because I've already had it. I've already experienced it. You see, your faith is always designed to take you to a knowing. Your faith is to take you to an experience which gives you a knowing, and therefore you never have to have faith in that. I know God is in the healing business. I need an amen. I know God is in the deliverance business. I need an amen. I know God will make a way where there is no way. Somebody say amen. I know it's possible. I know it's real. I know it's right. God will do it. But you need to step up and trust that he will do it. You, somebody here right now, you may be going through a trial. You need to tell hell, I might be living in a small apartment, but that doesn't define who I am. Let my home go. Right? I may not have enough money to afford a house, but let my finances go. When, you know, I've heard people have come to me and said, man, I don't like my job. I'm only making $18 an hour, blah, 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 blah. Well, speak to that. Speak to that. You know, if first of all, ask yourself the question, did your parents work and make very little money? Were your parents always struggling with their finances? Were your parents always struggling in this area? If they say yes, then say you need to speak to that tree in your life and be loosed and let go. A good friend of mine, a prophet of God, he walked up to pray for a man, and the man had all kinds of difficulties in life, disease, sickness, depression. I mean, he had all kinds of problems. And this man of God was very prophetic, and he walked up and put his hand on this man's head and started to pray. Now listen. As he started to pray, he saw a black cable come out of this man's chest right here, about this big around. It came out and went to the floor and laid on the floor and went out the door. And he said, in the spirit realm, I started following that cable. He said, I followed it to the ocean. And I followed it all the way. It went under the water, and I followed that cable all the way over to Europe. And he said, the cable come up out of the water, and it was going across the land. And I'm still following it in the spirit realm. I can visually see it. And I follow it to a graveyard. And it gets to where there is a nice monument, and it goes under the ground. So he just stopped praying for the man and said, wait a minute, I need to tell you what I'm seeing. He said, I started to pray for you and ask God for all the deliverance. He said, but I saw a black cable come out of your chest, and it went to the floor, and it went out the door. And he said, I followed it in the spirit realm. It went to the Atlantic Ocean and went under the water and went all the way over to Europe. And it came out, and it went across the land and went to an old graveyard somewhere in Europe. And there was a monument there. And the man said, oh, my God, I know what that is. He said, what is it? He said, my great-great-grandmother was a witch. And that prophet of God looked at him. He said, it's in your family tree. It's in your it is a generational stronghold. And that prophet of God acted like he was pulling a sword out. And right in front of that man, he said, in the name of Jesus, I declare you to be free. And he struck that, and it just shattered. And when it did, that man came unglued. He began to rejoice. He began to shout. God filled him with the Holy Spirit. He was completely delivered. His life was never the same. And God wants that for you. He wants that for you. But he also wants you to grow up and realize that you've been praying over something that you should have been speaking to all along. Got some great friends here, Phil and Candace Porter. Phil and Candace, they were our youth pastors here for, I don't know how many years, Phil, do you know? Five, six years, and it's been a minute or two. But they're back in town today, and it's such a thrill to see them. And I just, they're getting ready to take a church, and they're going to pastor full time. And they came into town to visit. He called me and said, hey, man, you mind if we come in this weekend and hang out with you guys? I said, absolutely not. So here's what I want you to do. I want Phil to stand right where he's at. I want everybody to raise a hand. And Phil's going to say, Satan, let my church go. Come on, I want you to go with him. Say, devil, let his church go. Okay. Let there be growth. Let there be explosive growth. Let there be unmatched revival in that church through this man. Let thousands of people come to God in Jesus' name. Now let's give a hand clap offering. How many of you want to do that for this church? You've got a right. Stand up. Stand up. I want you to point your hand at me and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Let my pastor go. Let him be anointed. Let him be powerful. Let him be a miracle worker. Let him be a great deliverance preacher. Let him be wise above his years. Let him have deep understanding to lead and guide this congregation. Let this congregation be a place of creative miracles. Not only miracles, but let miracles, signs, and wonders flow freely in this church. Let there be unity in this church like never before. And let this church be saturated with the love of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. How many of you know there's power in agreement? How many of you know there's power in agreement? Sit down. Some of you just gave a nice golf clap because you're looking at this like you would look at prayer. I hope that worked. Well, for you, it's not going to work. You have to believe that what we said. Here's what I believe. We just prayed for the greatest amount of unity to ever be. So whatever little molehill of hatred might be in this church somewhere, the foundation's cracking, right? Okay. Whatever tree of bitterness and unforgiveness and disunity is in this church, the roots are already withering. Why? And here's what you need to own. You say, why is that tree withering? And then you need to be bold enough to get up and say, because I'm created in the image of God, and I say so. No, I can't let you off that easy. Somebody needs to start acting woolly bully right now. Pastor, I'm going to tell you why things are getting better, because I just said they were. Come on, do you believe that God responded to what you just said? I need you to understand, victory's on the way. The anointing's on the way. The blessing's on the way. The angels have been released. They're already doing their work. The words have already got their marching order, and they're on the way, and they're dismantling all the darkness. There is darkness planned for this church. It just lost its plan. Because we said, let there be light in this church. Let this be a church of great revelation. Let this be a great church of joy. Let this church be one of the most liberated churches in America when it comes to worship. Let this church be a powerhouse of worship. Let this church worship in understanding like they've never worshiped in understanding before. Let our musicians prophesy on their instruments. Let our singers sing under a fresh anointing like they've never had in all of their life. Somebody help this preacher. Are you in agreement with me? If you can't repeat what I'm saying, then just say amen. There's no power. There's no tree. There's no mountain. There's no storm going to stand in our way, because we're speaking to it right now in Jesus' name. We've prayed long enough. Now we're going to jerk off our prayer cloth, and we're going to start speaking with the authority of heaven in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated again. There's time to pray, but there's also a time to speak. Speak to the storm and say, peace be still. Here's what God spoke over humanity, and I close. God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. Did you know you're to be fruitful? Did you know you're to multiply? I'm going to tell you something. I pastored a sweet lady one time, and she went to some friends, and she said, I don't want our church to get any bigger. Somebody said, oh, why? Well, I just like the attention I get from the pastor. If it gets much bigger, I'm not going to get to be around him as much. God is in the expansion business. It's who God is. Fill the earth. Be fruitful. Multiply. Subdue the earth and have dominion. Those are the things that you have in your DNA that you have a right to. Here it is. You've got the power to be fruitful. You've got the power to multiply. You've got the power to fill the earth. You've got the power to subdue the earth. And you've got power to have dominion and authority over everything. Can you act like that? Say this with me and we'll go home. I am clothed in immense power to be fruitful and multiply. Keep going. I have been clothed in immense power to subdue the earth and have dominion. Let this church be fully alive with immense power. Let every man, let every woman, and let every child in this church thrive in kingdom authority. Now let's all stand to our feet and give the Lord a great big hand clap offering, and I'm going to turn this over to Jerry.